Lisa, from your own personal recollection, what do you remember about March 11th, 2020?
Well, I remember it very vividly.
Lisa Salters is a reporter for ESPN and the co-host of E60.
I was preparing for my upcoming games that weekend, but I was also preparing to fly to Toronto the very next day to do an E60 interview with Pascal Siakam. I got a text from the PR person for the Toronto Raptors, and he said, "Are you watching what's happening right now in the basketball world?" I quickly turned on the television, and all of my Pascal Siakam plans went out the window, and it became all about Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert has tested positive for the coronavirus. The Thunder and Jazz, I'm told, are both quarantined in that arena. And the NBA has made the decision. They have just announced that they are suspending play for the foreseeable future.
Think back to where you were exactly 1 year ago today, March 11th, 2020, and remember how insane it felt when the NBA, and then life as we knew it, suddenly stopped. That night, amid all of that chaos, our industry trained its collective gaze upon one athlete in specific, Rudy Gobert. Today, Lisa Salters gives us Gobert's personal perspective on that evening, and the Utah Jazz Center opens up to her about what it's been like to be branded the patient zero of American sports. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, March 11th. This is ESPN Daily. Lisa Salters, thanks for joining us on ESPN Daily.
Thanks for having me.
So we know March 11th, 2020 as this milestone day in not just sports, but American history, Lisa, because that's when the coronavirus pandemic really consumed our industry and American culture. And it started, it felt like, with the NBA sounding the alarm by postponing the 2020 season. And at the very center of all of the chaos of that day was Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert, the very first player in the NBA to test positive for the virus. And you recently interviewed him while reporting this new E60 profile. What excited you about telling Gobert's story?
Well, I knew that Rudy had a compelling story to tell. He was patient zero.
The NBA's Rudy Gobert tests positive for the virus. This has been serious from the get-go. It feels like it could turn disastrous.
We are going to remember March 11th, right? As the night that the NBA as a league took a timeout.
That is when everyone started to pay attention to this pandemic. In the days, even the days leading up to that, COVID-19 was not getting the recognition that it should have been getting here in the United States. And when Rudy Gobert tested positive, that all changed.
You were able to secure one of the first sit-downs with Rudy Gobert about all of the events of that day. And the interview took place back in November over Zoom. You were in Baltimore. Rudy was in his native country of France. What was Rudy's demeanor like when you got to get some face-to-face time?
Well, actually, I got to get some face-to-face time with Rudy back in July in the bubble in Orlando. Mm. So that was the first time that I actually got to sit down with him to talk about what had happened. We did a longer, more in-depth interview after that in November. He was the one guy that I wanted to interview more than anyone else because I wanted to know his take on his place in history. Him testing positive shut down the league, shut down sports, shut down everything in the United States. And I wanted to know, one, how he was doing after having COVID, and two, how he was reconciling this infamy that he now had.
So I would say, Lisa, that when most NBA fans think of Rudy Gobert now, the very first thing that jumps to mind is March 11th, 2020. And look, they might also know him as this physically imposing 7-foot-1 giant with this 7-foot-9 wingspan, which is incredible even by NBA standards. But beyond all of that stuff, I don't really know if fans know all that much about him. So tell us where Rudy's from. Tell us what his upbringing was like.
He's from France, so he was not born here in the United States. He was raised in a city outside of Paris. The city is called Saint-Quentin. Saint Quentin, if we were to pronounce that in English. He was raised by a single mom. He and his siblings were raised by their mother after their parents split when Rudy was about 2 years old.
What's the little building where I grew up? It's kind of like, you know, like project apartments funded by the government, and it's, you know, for people that don't have a lot of money.
Didn't have a whole lot growing up. I wouldn't say that they were poor. He was always very appreciative of how hard his mother worked as a hairdresser to make sure that the kids had everything that they needed.
You know, I thought my mom did a great job educating me, teaching me about how being a good human being. And when I look back, I'm really glad that I come from the place that I come from, because it really taught me all the values that I have now.
For Rudy, he may not have had a lot, but he had basketball.
In terms of Rudy playing basketball, when did all that start?
Well, he says that he remembers playing when he was 2 or 3 years old, that he would play on the little hoops that his mom would have for him. I also thought it was funny that he said he used to watch Space Jam.
All I knew was the movie Space Jam, and I didn't know the rules. You know, I didn't know nothing about basketball, but when I started, I really starting to enjoy it. And after a few years, I really told myself that I wanted to become an NBA player.
Isn't it funny to think that perhaps Space Jam would be the reason that we have this awesome basketball player now?
Yeah, I love that Rudy Gobert is somehow a branch in Bugs Bunny's coaching tree. But I'm also curious, Lisa, what his actual game was like as a young player growing up. Because you got to talk with one of Rudy's old friends from France, Evan Fournier, who is now a player for the Orlando Magic. What was Fournier's scouting report on Rudy back then?
His scouting report was not very kind.
He wasn't really good. You got me thinking about how awkward he was back then.
He was just kind of this awkward kid who loved to play basketball. Even though he loved to play, it's not that basketball necessarily loved him at that time when he was a teenager.
What takes him to the next level as a prospect?
He grew and grew and grew into this giant.
His voice got deeper. He was like, "Hey, what's up, Evan?" And he's just, I was shocked. I was like, "What did you do? What happened?"
That awkward kid is now 7'1", like you said, a wingspan of 7'8.5". And you put somebody like that stature on a basketball court, I don't care how little bit of skill he has, you can't teach that height, but you can teach him how to play. By the time he was 20, he was actually getting a little bit of run with the French national team. And so that got him an invitation to the NBA Combine in Chicago. And so then everyone got to see this kid. And again, I don't think there was any doubt that Rudy was going to get drafted, but there were a lot of folks who still weren't sold on him, on his game. But Rudy, he thought that, you know, I'm the man. He thought that he was going in the top five.
What is a good spot for you?
The spot for me is top five.
Top five.
Yeah.
But that did not happen.
Welcome to the 2013 NBA Draft at Barclays Center.
He waited and he waited and he waited. Top five came and went. Top 10 came and went. The top 15 came and went. The top 20 came and went. And he had invited his family, his brother, his sister, his mom, they were all with him. You hear this story from athletes a lot. They think they're going in a spot and that doesn't happen and they're a little bit embarrassed. But eventually, he did get that phone call.
My agent was right next to me and he told me, okay, that's you're next. Utah is actually drafting you through Denver.
He was the 27th overall pick.
The Denver Nuggets select Rudy Gobert from Saint-Quentin, France. He last played for Cholet.
What did your mom say to you when she hugged you?
She was crying. She was telling me that she was proud and, you know, and she was like, you did it.
So Rudy gets drafted by the Nuggets, who immediately trade him to the Utah Jazz, Lisa, and he decides upon the number 27 as his jersey number to permanently remind himself and everyone else of where he got chosen. So now that Rudy's entered the NBA with this sort of vengeance, what's his next goal?
His next goal was to make an all-star team. In 2018, he won the NBA Defensive Player of the Year award.
Horford gets it back and gets stoned at the rim. Gobert would have none of it.
And that is just a huge accomplishment. And he didn't just win it in 2018. He turned around in 2019 and did it again. One of just a few players to win back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards. But he wasn't satisfied. He wanted to be an all-star. And in 2019, he thought, this is going to be my year.
So when it wasn't his year, Lisa, when it turns out that he doesn't make that all-star team in 2019, how did Rudy Gobert take all of that? How would you describe his reaction to not achieving his all-star goal?
He was crushed. And again, this is what I love about Rudy Gobert. He doesn't shy away from his emotions. He doesn't try to sugarcoat anything. He stood there in front of the local reporters and showed his emotion.
It was a rough night. I mean, you know, my mom caught me crying. It was tough, but you know, it is what it is. Sorry.
He cried. And to see that, it just let you know how much it meant to him.
So tears are shed in 2019 after he feels like he got snubbed by the NBA. What happens in February of 2020?
2020 actually was his year. He was selected as an all-star.
I got to go with the Eiffel Tower, Rudy Gobert.
Ooh. Congratulations to Rudy Gobert, 7 years in the league and finally an all-star.
Playing the best ball of his career.
Gobert, the Euro no. Step.
Come on now, that's because that young man has worked so hard on his ball skills.
When you look back at it now, just 3 weeks after he made his All-Star debut, just 3 weeks later, after being on top of the world, suddenly everything comes crashing down.
All right, coming up. March 11th, 2020, from the perspective of Rudy Gobert.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So Lisa, I want to go back to March 11th, 2020 now, because the Oklahoma City Thunder are scheduled to host Rudy Gobert and the Utah Jazz. And at this point in time, I recall there being hundreds of known coronavirus cases in the U.S. already. So what precautions were being taken at Chesapeake Energy Arena in Oklahoma City on that night?
Well, like other arenas around the country, we were still playing. Whether we should have been doing that or not, hindsight is 20/20, but we were still playing ball at Chesapeake, like it was in all of the other arenas. You'd see the people wiping down the seats, wiping down the scorers' tables. The players were being kept away from the media for the most part. For that particular game, the beat writers or the beat reporters were told they weren't allowed to go to shoot around that morning. So the league, the teams, they were taking some steps to be cautious about the coronavirus, but it wasn't until later that night that we found out just how little we were really doing.
So when media members tried to do the standard thing they do before a game with the Jazz, they want to talk to Rudy Gobert. What are they told?
They were told that Rudy wasn't feeling well. And I asked Rudy to take me back to that day. He said he woke up just feeling a little under the weather.
Just waking up with a little cold, like fever, just like I had 1,000 times before in my life.
He went to the training staff and they tested him for the flu and that came back negative. So he said what he typically does in that situation is he just has some tea, he rests during the day, and he was fully expecting to suit up to play against the Thunder that evening. But because of all the news about the coronavirus in those early days, the training staff decided to, just as a precaution, to test him for COVID-19.
Welcome to Oklahoma City. The Jazz back on the road to take on the Thunder of OKC.
Just before tip-off, Lisa, the announcement comes through that Rudy Gobert has been ruled out of the game that night. And Rudy himself, as this is all happening, he's watching the broadcast of the game from his hotel room. What happens next?
Yeah, so he said that he was watching television and he saw what we all saw.
So Gobert is out. You see both head coaches now talking with the officials. We don't know what they're talking about.
The officials come out onto the floor. The officials bring the head coaches over. He saw players leaving the floor, and he said he just knew. That is when he knew, uh-oh, this has to be about me. I must have tested positive for COVID-19.
Fans, due to unforeseen circumstances, the game tonight has been postponed. You are excited.
A few seconds later, I got the call from the trainer.
What did the trainer say?
He called me and he told me that I tested positive.
And what was his first thought after he gets that news? Because at the time, again, this is truly terrifying.
Absolutely. He said he was scared.
I ended up being the first one testing positive and, you know, and it became the story. The first thought that came to my mind was I need to call my mother.
He wanted to call his mother first so that she wouldn't hear it on the news. He was able to reach her, and she was like any mother would be, terrified for her son. She immediately wanted to come to the United States to be with him, but she couldn't do that. He needed to be in quarantine. And that was the part that I found so compelling about Rudy, and I just appreciate his thoughtfulness and his honesty when doing the interview. I wanted to know, what was that like for you? Now, close contact, people test positive, they go into quarantine, and it's kind of like it's become part of our lives.
There's a protocol, yes.
Right. Back then, he was the first one that we really kind of knew of, and this was happening to him. He had to feel like the last man on the planet, just all by himself. And he said he was afraid. He was Googling everything that he could, trying to find out about the coronavirus, which isn't always the best thing that we should do when we're trying to find out about medical information.
Yeah, WebMDing, Lisa, is just such a dangerous rabbit hole to tumble down into.
And he tumbled down. He said he read about young people who were having strokes. He was reading everything that he shouldn't have been reading about healthy people dying from the coronavirus. And he was afraid. He said he was afraid to go to sleep every night because he was afraid he wouldn't wake up.
So Rudy Gobert is literally and figuratively isolated at this moment. He is processing a pandemic alone. And about an hour after that diagnosis comes in, the NBA announces that it's suspending the entire season, Lisa, which is, again, thinking back a year ago, I mean, it's insane that we're at a year mark. It's also insane to realize just how earth-shattering that was. It felt like the first sign that
The world was coming to an end.
Yes, that the United States and the world needed to grapple with this in a way that would disrupt our entire way of life. That must have been an extra burden and responsibility on Rudy's shoulders.
Absolutely. I mean, every day you turned on the television and something else that you thought could not happen, happened. And so hearing about all of these sports leagues and, you know, the NBA shutting down, everything just seemed more and more terrifying.
So I remember this so acutely, Lisa, because over the next few days, as Rudy Gobert has already been labeled the catalyst for sports shutting down, basically, we get this video that is now infamous. Rudy Gobert at a press conference on March 9th, 2020. That's 2 days before the positive test we just discussed. And as the press conference is ending and he's getting up to leave the room, he pretty much sweeps his hands across all of the microphones and recording devices on the table in front of him, the stuff that belongs to members of the media. He's touching all of it. Because in retrospect, 2 days later, Rudy Gobert is the first positive case of the coronavirus in the NBA, this video, needless to say, is not received well. What were some of the things people were saying about Rudy at that time?
They were calling him a pariah, that he was irresponsible.
There's no escaping his immaturity, the insensitivity that he displayed, and it was inexcusable.
The way people perceived it was that he was being reckless and saying like, oh, I don't really care about germs. I'm going to spread all of my germs to all of you reporters by touching your microphones because I don't care about germs. I don't care about this coronavirus thing that you guys are talking about. When you look at it that way, you could say, yeah, that was pretty irresponsible. You should have been taking this seriously. And why would you want to spread your germs to people purposefully? But when you talk to Rudy about it, that wasn't his intent at all.
A lot of people had something to say about the mic touching in the press conference with the reporters. What do you want people to know about that?
Obviously, at the time, it was the first day that we found out that the media was not going to be able to interview us right next to us. And, you know, we obviously didn't know as much as we know now, and I only did that to try to, you know, lighten the mood a little bit.
He was trying to lighten the mood that the reporters, for the first time in, you know, in these unprecedented waters that we're now entering, had been told that they had to stay away from players. And so he was sitting at the front of the room while reporters were far away. Usually you see these scrums that are pre-game, post-game interviews where the player is just standing there and we're all just kind of holding our microphones like, you know, inches away from their face.
Yes.
But they were told they couldn't do it that way anymore, that they were trying to keep the players in somewhat of a bubble. Rudy's intention was to show the reporters, I'm not afraid of you guys. So I'm going to touch all your equipment to let you know that I'm not scared of you, that we're all in this together. So when you look at it from that context, you see that he was just trying to make the reporters feel better and lighten the mood a little bit.
People, Lisa, I mean, people were so mad. People wanted him to not just be shamed, they wanted him to be punished. And a few days later, Rudy does record an apology.
I wish I would have took this thing more seriously, and I hope everyone else going to do so, because we can do it together.
So Lisa, the media's response and their understanding about this is one thing, but how did this play out inside the Jazz locker room?
Not well, especially when their other star player, Donovan Mitchell, also tested positive. So again, let's go back to where we were a year ago, knowing so little about it and there being such hysteria and fear about the coronavirus. Donovan Mitchell responded, I'm sure the way I would have, the way you would have. He was mad and he blamed the first person who tested positive.
We heard from your teammate, Rudy Gobert. Have you had a chance? Mm-hmm. And again, he has apologized, but have you had a chance to have any communication with your teammate?
To be honest with you, Robin, you know, it took a while, you know, for me to kind of cool off, you know, and I read what he said and I heard what he said. So, you know, I'm glad he's doing okay. I'm glad I'm doing well.
He blamed Rudy for bringing COVID to the team. That's just not how it works. I'm sure they were probably exposed at the same time. And Rudy just tested positive first. That's how it works. I mean, Rudy wasn't going out like swinging from the chandeliers. He wasn't doing anything differently than the rest of his teammates. What was so disappointing about that is that at the time, you know, the Jazz were a great team a year ago. And I was just, I think many people were just so worried that this was going to fracture the team and that they would never be the same again. That this rift between the two stars, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, was going to be irreparable.
It's not often, Lisa, that you, I mean, none of this story really is precedented in any way, but it's also not often to have one of your star players feuding with the other star player on Good Morning America. That felt like a sign that, okay, this is going to be a real story here.
I thought it was over for the Jazz. But fortunately, and I was so happy to hear that by the time we even got to the bubble, they got a chance to talk as men, which I appreciate. There was just so much that was wrong with the world at that time last year that this didn't need to be one more thing. And I was so happy to hear that they just put an end to this squabble and talked about it. Donovan said what he needed to say. Rudy said what he needed to say. And they got past it. And that's what I really appreciate about those two stars.
On the health front, Lisa, how did Rudy and Donovan come out of this?
Both ended up being okay, thankfully. Rudy told me that it took him months to regain his senses of taste and smell. But other than that, by the time both of them got to Orlando in the bubble, they were both healthy.
So in the NBA bubble in Orlando, we got to see Rudy and Donovan and the Jazz come together, make a run, then, unfortunately for them, blow this 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets and get sent home. So 2020 winds up being overall this frustrating thing for Rudy Gobert, but the Jazz sign him after all of that to this 5-year, $205 million contract extension in December. When he got that contract, after being viewed as the pariah, as the Typhoid Mary of COVID in America, what did that mean to Rudy personally, do you think?
I think it was probably vindication that he had moved past those dark days when he was known as, like you said, the Typhoid Mary of the coronavirus. I think his name was synonymous with COVID a year ago. Despite the fact that he was playing great ball back then, once he tested positive, that is what everyone talked about. That's what people remembered every time his name was mentioned. Now, here we are a year later. He's a two-time Defensive Player of the Year. He's a back-to-back All-Star. He's playing the best basketball of his career for sure. The Jazz have the best record in the league. And now when people talk about Rudy Gobert, they don't think about, oh, that's the guy who had COVID. That's the guy who tested positive for the coronavirus. Now when people think about Rudy Gobert, they think about him dunking over Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Bounces to Rudy through the middle. Packed it on Giannis! Oh boy, Rudy Gobert! Spell that!
Right now, Lisa, when you look at what is sitting in front of Rudy Gobert, the possibility of bringing a championship to Utah, a real possibility, after everything that's happened over the last year exactly now, what do you think it would mean?
I think it would mean everything. And it would be so fitting that the guy who was blamed for shutting down the league, for shutting down sports, for shutting down the country, gets to wind up a champion. Good stories are about ups and downs, right? The roller coaster ride of the journey. On March 11th of 2020, Rudy Gobert was in a free fall. And to have him be at the top of the mountain a year and a couple of months later, for him to be able to win a championship, I think that would mean everything to him. And I think it would be a great ending to this story.
Lisa Salters, thank you for tracing the trajectory of the craziest roller coaster ride in professional sports.
My pleasure.
You can watch Lisa's E60 special, Man in the Middle, the Rudy Gobert story, which is available now on the ESPN app. Up next, what it was like to try to cover the night that sports stopped.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I remember exactly where I was on March 11th, 2020. I remember the exact spot on my dark blue chair in my living room as I stared at the TV, my two-week-old daughter, thankfully asleep, as I manically refreshed Twitter, taking in the Rudy Gobert news and Tom Hanks testing positive and the news of the White House suspending travel from Europe to the United States. And in that spot, for the last 365 days, I have more or less remained right there on that dark blue chair in my living room as I continue to stare at the TV and manically refresh Twitter. But many of my colleagues were at work that day, and ESPN's 30 for 30 podcasts collected their perspectives in an audio documentary that shows how they reacted in real time as sports shut down.
We got some breaking news for you related to coronavirus. The city of San Francisco has followed the lead of neighboring Santa Clara County and banned all gatherings of 1,000 people or more for 2 weeks. That ban will include Warriors games, which means, yes, the Warriors plan to play tomorrow night's game without fans.
So the NBA, the first league forced to make a move to combat coronavirus fears.
Ramona Shelburne.
Up until about 1 second ago, you were working the phone, and through our tape time right now, we're hearing owners in the league are meeting.
I'd been trying to text, you know, different owners and different team presidents, trying to find out what they had said. But the expectation was, the thing they were going to talk about was the potential of playing games with a limited amount of fans.
There's an increasing belief among teams throughout the league that's where they will all eventually end up here, with no fans in arenas. They're not quite there yet. That's part of what's being discussed.
And that's what I thought we were going to be covering that night. When are they shutting down games in LA or games in New York to fans? That's what seemed like the furthest it would go that night.
Back to the NBA. Tonight's games, they're being played as scheduled, including a doubleheader here on ESPN. At 8 Eastern, Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets travel to Dallas to take on Luka and the Mavs. For more on the NBA tonight, Tom Rinaldi joins us courtside from the big game in Dallas. And Tom, what can you tell us?
Sage, that in essence, this could be an effective snapshot in time of the future to come.
I remember we got to the arena and the earliest fans who showed up were receiving little bottles of hand sanitizer.
In Dallas, a different kind of night for fans arriving at American Airlines Arena, receiving hand sanitizer.
So, wow, I mean, how different is that?
Here we are in a building in Dallas, packed with people.
They had 20,000 announced. Yet another sellout. It was packed.
And I was taking pictures with fans. And, you know, you're leaning in and you're smiling and you're engaging with the fans because they're as excited for the game as you are. The whole feel around that game, I can only describe it as strange. Instead of asking assistant coaches and players what they thought of the matchup, I was asking everyone how much a part of the conversation amongst the players is the virus. There was just this feel around the game in every circumstance that made it feel like something was coming.
That's NBA analyst Doris Burke, and she was right. Something was coming. You just heard about Rudy Gobert's day, the Jazz game getting canceled, the building shutting down. I remember getting frantic texts from people across the NBA, all of them kind of realizing simultaneously that the great machine of sports was suddenly grinding to a halt. But not quite yet, because that night, the Dallas Mavericks and Denver Nuggets played their game, and Doris and her production team had to complete their broadcast with the weight of the knowledge that the NBA season had just been suspended.
Welcome you back courtside, Ryan Rucco alongside Doris Burke.
Once we received the news, your ability to concentrate on the action in front of you became distinctly hard. I mean, it was hard. But then you have to come to grips with the fact that you still are on national television and that you still have a responsibility to your viewers.
Now let's watch Luka Doncic, whose normal pick and roll partner is Kristaps Porzingis. Tonight, it's been this guy. And a nice solid.
This is where the play-by-play's job becomes an intricate and delicate dance.
My name's Ian Gruca. I'm an NBA producer at ESPN. Jeff Evers, our director, you know, he knew once that moment was announced that, honestly, the probably highest profile person in that building was Mark Cuban, you know, probably the highest profile owner in our league. And I remember he told our camera six, hey, stay on Mark Cuban.
You could see right here the reaction from Mark Cuban when he got the news looking at his phone.
It is one of the most indelible images I've ever seen.
The absolute shock that crosses Mark Cuban's face.
It's a man in a chair looking down at his phone and whiplashing back into his seat.
You know, my first thought to Tom was, can we get Mark Cuban?
Mark, first reaction. We got the shot of you reacting on the phone and seeing it. First reaction and thought when you learned that the season's been suspended.
This is crazy. This can't be true. I mean, it's not within the realm of possibilities. It's just, it seemed more like out of a movie than reality.
Tom is in the middle of his interview with Mark. We're supposed to go to break. At that point, I'm like, guys, we ain't going to break. This is too good.
I mean, I walked over to my wife. It's like, do we send our kids to school tomorrow? You know, is it that big? And again, you know, it's like out of a movie. It's not even real.
We finished the interview, and he looked at me like he was still stunned. And I looked at him, I know, like I was stunned. And it's the only thing I could think of to say to him again was, thanks and good luck.
It felt a little chaotic, and it absolutely felt surreal. It may have been the most strange feeling I've ever had on a telecast, and I've been doing it since 1990.
And our thoughts to all of us in this country, obviously. We have weighty things that we're dealing with at this moment, and be an interesting next couple of days.
Score here in Dallas, the Mavericks 113, the Nuggets 97. Special thanks to our producer, Ian Gruca, Tom Rinaldi, Doris Burke, and our entire ESPN crew. I'm Ryan Rucco.
What I felt before the game was this touch of anxiety. What I felt in the aftermath of that game was the beginning of fear.
Exactly 1 year later, we've all felt fear and a surreal sadness, and now, hopefully, some relief at the arrival of the vaccine and a certain freedom of movement, if not normalcy, returning as the weather warms and the great machine of sports begins to move again. Listen to the full documentary at 30 for 30 Podcasts for an amazing story of that day and for a clear lesson in how connected and dependent we are on each other still. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.